Father, was I making sense to you? Yeah. How? Just start again.
The calling.
We give you the loud one.
The calling of God on my life.
Yeah.
There's always been that heart desire in me since I was a child.
Yeah.
But it's never been fulfilled. The enemy, I've allowed the enemy to steal it from me, and to the point that I did never believe that I would ever fulfill what God has called upon my life, the calling in my life.
Yeah, because when I was praying for you, what I saw was Joshua in the Bible. You see, the thing about Joshua in the Bible, when God sent him and the 11 others to spy the land, the people that had negative things to say were the majority. And the people that had positive things to say from God's heart were the minority. So you've had God's words in God's heart, but you've allowed the negative people speak louder over you in your situations and your circumstance. Now, what will begin to happen is you begin to accept the words and the promises of the Lord in your life and around what you see over the noise nonsense of the majority. Amen. Make sense?
Yep.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Hi, Josh.
Joshua.
Okay. You see, coming to church and watching me have fun with God in the Holy Spirit is not good enough. What did I say? I was saying to her that in every family, God raises what? In every generation, God raises what? Now, here's what the problem has been. We look at the prophet that God raises in your generation as the wow. They are not meant to be the wow. They are meant to be a baseline of what you are meant to be. The one, the loud one.
Benji, turn it up.
Yeah, we are. The prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the superheroes he raises up in your generation are not meant for you to be saying, wow, look at them. They are meant to be, wow, look at what I can be. They are meant to be, wow, look at what I can do. So in whatever I can do by the grace of God is meant to give you a baseline of what you should be doing. And this is why Jesus was saying to the disciples, greater works than these. That means what Jesus did was what? Baseline. Not the exception. You're looking at me funny, like I'm speaking Swahili or something. what I do before you is not an exception, but a what? Is an example. And most often, we'll do it the way we haven't done it before, which looks like showing off. Yes, it is showing off. Showing off what? The example of what you should be doing. Because if it's shown, then it's not an example, is it? If it's not shown off, it's not an example. When you went to school, the teacher showed you the formula, the process, and then it became an example for you to emulate.
Amen.
What does Paul say to his spiritual sons? Imitate me. Copy me, which means he's going to be doing something in a very demonstrable way that it is imitatable, copyable,
Amen.
Followable.
Yes.
Does that make sense to anybody?
Yes.
Now, how do we know that if he did things that they were to be imitated, followed, emulated, were a public example? He said, I did not come to you with what? Persuasive words of what? Wisdom. But with what? Power and what?
Demonstration.
So that means he had to demonstrate the power for people to imitate.
Yes. Come on.
We should get to a place in the church when somebody gets a microphone and say things, and they didn't demonstrate, tell them politely to shut up and sit down.
Come on.
Politely. They did that at the Azusa Revival.
Yeah. Yeah.
They did not have a organized speaker. The meeting went, and as the meeting went, whoever was anointed for the day would come pick up the microphone and speak. And when he starts speaking and they descend, the anointing is not him, they'll just say, brother, sit down.
Amen.
That's a church you want to go get a microphone.
Amen.
We'll just tell you, brother, please sit down. Somebody doesn't get the microphone because they have a title. They get the microphone because the Spirit of the Lord is where?
Upon.
On them.
Amen.
You see, this is why our churches have become very smart and intellectual.
Yeah.
Because they are propelled by what? Too much talk. And very little
demonstration. Come on.
And it's funny that most of the people that God has used incredibly in the power and the demonstration are people that don't talk good.
Come on. Amen.
You see, Moses could not preach a message like I could. He just like, I give up, God, boom.
Yeah.
He didn't have the vocabulary to flaunt around, so he just like, fire. Yeah. You just get to have a three-word sermon. Fire, glory, boom. Moses trying to preach, yes. Fire, glory, boom. Let's go home. Does that make sense?
Yes. Amen.
Now, in the midst of all of that, somebody may have noticed that my teaching is actually incredibly awesome.
Absolutely. Come on. Come on.
Yes.
Because the grace that comes with the prophetic is to explain what's happening. Did anybody hear
yes.
that? Is to do what?
Explain.
So you can understand.
Amen.
Why our spiritual heroes have been the exception? Because they never explained how they became what they are. And it's difficult to follow somebody who you think you can never catch up.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Who's that? It's such and such. Who are we? So in you, the desire to pursue and catch up is just knocked out. The grace of God in teaching is to make things so simple that everybody thinks they can do it.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Amen.
I know the day I married a white girl. Three or more of my spiritual sons all married white girls.
Amen.
The day I left the continent, just about every one of them left the continent. Because you make it look so simple that everybody thinks, I can do that.
Amen.
Am I making sense to anybody?
Yes.
So if we did fancy things and you went away feeling, man, I don't think we can ever get there, then I've not done a good job in explaining.
Yeah.
So, the ministry of demonstration goes hand in hand with the ministry of explanation.
Amen.
The trouble is, we've not seen the ministry of explanation and the ministry of demonstration work hand in hand.
Yeah.
It is either we are always explaining things we don't do, or we are always demonstrating without explaining, which brings confusions and misunderstanding and whatever else that is out there. See, with the ministry of demonstration, we raise up passionate believers.
Yeah.
We raise up followers. Many times we raise up fans.
Yeah.
On Facebook, like me. Like my video, like my photo. In the ministry of explanation, you raise up sons and
yes.
disciples.
Yeah.
enough of me explaining. If I explain explanation well enough,
yes.
Is explanation explained good enough?
Yes.
I'm happy to explain the explaining of the explanation of the explaining.
Passionate
believers.
Followers.
You see, you believe, but doesn't necessarily make you a disciple, a son. They saw Jesus multiply bread, they ate it, they believed, but they never followed him. Okay, does that make sense?
Yeah.
They saw him multiply bread, feed them, he took them aside and explained, then they believed and followed him. Hey? You remember that just about every miracle Jesus performed and every parable he gave, he went to the back room and explained it.
Yeah.
So where do you want to be? At the back room. The problem is so many of you are too busy to come with me to the back room. You're
Amen.
Doing your roast and
yes.
your cabbage and potato, whatever you do.
Come on.
Out here is demonstration, in the back room is explanation.
Come on.
Hey?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think I've explained extensively. Usually Friday nights is a very good back room. So, just one more side point before I teach a little bit. You've all started the game.
Yes.
And for each one of you in where you've started, you've all started with 365 and a quarter days each. Which means each one of you has got just as much time as the person next to you. However, what determines what you all become and accomplish is how you choose to use the equal time each one of you started with. Began with
Amen.
And has been given.
Amen. Amen.
The most heartbreaking thing is most of us always begin a new year exactly the same way we ended the previous one. Meaning, the trajectory of where you'll be going, what you will achieve in this brand new year will be exactly the same as what you achieved in the previous year, and the year before, and the year before that. If you're going to see any different results this year,
yes.
please do something differently.
Yes.
Hey?
Yes.
Do what? If you're going to see different results, do something different. If you want to see your spirituality change something.
Yes.
Change the habits. Change the patterns. Change the people you hang out with. Oh, I've hung out with this crew for too long and I'm still the same. Maybe change something.
Amen.
Go somewhere else. Do something else. Because we cannot keep on doing the same thing over and over and expect it's a new year, we're going to have new results.
Amen.
Nominal Christianity will produce nominal Christian fruit in your life.
Amen.
Nominal spirituality will produce nominal spiritual fruit and results in your life. I tell you the truth, 95% of Christianity in our Western culture is very nominal. Yeah. That's why it's fruitless.
Yeah.
That's why it's got no power.
Yeah.
Probably if Paul came to minister amongst the 95% of what we call ourselves charismatic and whatever, you wouldn't even qualify calling us Christians. You call us religious. Because what we have is the form without the power.
Yeah.
The form without the power loves dead works.
Yeah.
We are so passionate, so given out, so sold out to dead things. We are so loyal and so committed to dead things.
Yeah.
Why do you go to that church? Oh, I've got friends there. You and your friends. I'll edit that part out. I'll move on. Change something.
Yeah.
Do something different. Eh? What was my last year like? What did I do last year? What should I do differently this year to get a different year? Evaluate yourself. Evaluate your works. Evaluate your fruit. Evaluate your Christianity. And wherever you find yourself wanting, make corrections.
Yeah.
Aye?
Yeah.
Did you get prayer last year? Did you keep the fruit and the results of your prayer? What should you do this year to maintain what God gives you? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Are we ready to start? Yep. 2 Peter. Like I said, I'm doing my best trying to explain things to you.
Amen.
Because I realize more so you people that love revival gravitate towards results and fruit without the foundation in how to procure the fruit and the result.
Yeah.
And this is why our revivals never last. Why? We got the fire, but we forget to get the fuel to keep the fire going. So the fire only lasts as long as the fuel lasts.
Yeah.
It was never God's intention for any revival to last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 day, 2 days.
Yes.
What that all shows you is we got the fire, But we didn't stock up on the fuel. Making sense?
Yes, come on.
So I try to teach so we can get the foundation. So whatever God gives us, we're able to keep and maintain.
Amen.
Whatever God releases us, we're able to run forward with it.
Amen.
So we're saying 2 Peter. I'll probably start from verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 1. These are the things that I think I've taught in passing. But I just want to take time to explain, teach you a few things. Simon Peter, this is the opening of a letter. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Okay? Who's writing? Who is what?
Servant, apostle.
Okay. So, he's, this is very important. It's a greeting, but also from the very onset, he's establishing his credentials. Okay? Why is he establishing his credentials? So that the validity and authority of what followed is not in question or in doubt by anyone. Fair enough? So Simon Peter, who is a servant, who is one given, sold out, laid down.
Amen.
In the ministry.
Yeah.
But not only is he a person that is given out, laid down, sold out, he's also a person picked up by God, set apart, and then sent out.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
That part is the apostle part. Meaning somebody who's been set apart and sent out. Does that make sense, sir?
Amen.
To those. Okay? So from the one laid down, given out, sold out, set apart, and sent out to those. Through the righteousness of our God and Savior Christ. To who? Those. Have received a faith.
Yes.
Precious as ours.
Yes.
There's a few things I want you to quickly understand. This message was to those who have received faith. What kind of faith? Very precious. But that's not the underpinning of point here. The underpinning point is the faith that they received was exactly the same as the faith that they received. Are you understanding here? So Peter is saying, the faith that you have is exactly the same faith that he has. The faith that you received is exactly the same kind of faith that he received.
Amen.
So you and Peter have got the same faith.
Amen.
And having the same exact faith, there's got to be a point where we got to be seeing the same exact of fruit.
Yes, bring it on. Yes, Lord.
So that the fruits that Peter got, people that received the exactly kind of faith that Peter received, they should be getting that kind of fruit.
Amen.
The kind of result that Peter got, they too should be getting that similar result Why? Because they share the same exactly identical faith.
Amen. Amen.
Are you understanding here?
Yes.
So meaning, what Peter is walking in, they should also begin to walk in the same, because it is the same grace.
Amen.
Yes. It is the same faith. It is the same anointing.
Yeah.
It is the same spirit.
Yeah.
Are you understanding?
Yeah.
And this is why I said earlier on, what I do is not the exception but a baseline, because the same kind of faith that I have is exactly the same kind of faith that you have received. Meaning, whatever I do, you should be able to do only better. Why should you be able to do only better? Because I'm figuring out, you got the example.
Come on.
Did anybody get that?
Yes.
I am figuring it out. You are getting the example. So you've got a demonstrable way of how to do it. Hence, you can see how to improve.
Amen. Come on.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So what kind of faith you got, Ross? Exactly the same one.
Yeah.
I can do what you can do. I can do it better. Why can I do it better? Because I saw how you were doing it, and I'm making some modifications and improvements.
Come on.
Is that good?
Amen.
Oh, there is more.
It's good.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Do we need to explain anymore, or just move on? Okay, we'll move on. Now that you understand that the same faith that we received is the same faith that you have, grace and peace be yours in abundance.
Amen. Yes.
Eh?
Yes.
Grace and peace be yours in abundance, through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ.
Mm. Yeah.
You with me, Sue? Now that you understand everything that we said, that the same faith that I received is the same faith that you've received. Because you understand that, now, let grace,
amen,
let the favor,
amen,
let the happy demeanor of God to you,
amen,
the fullness, his heart, his health, heartfelt, amen, compassion towards you,
yeah,
and his peace, where you are secure in who he is, you are settled in perfect confidence, you are free from fear, you are free from harassment,
amen,
from things in the natural and things in the spirit.
Amen.
And you are also prospering. Because there is never peace without prosperity, because your heart is at want. But there is no want in you, because you are also prospering.
Amen. Yes.
Through the knowledge. Now, that's a part that begins to make a distinction. You've got the same faith like him, you've got the same grace like him. You got the same anointing like him. The only difference is your understanding.
Wow. Yeah.
The knowledge, the application of what you have is what makes a difference between Peter and the rest of them.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Does somebody understand that?
Yes.
Through their knowledge. So that part there, may the grace and the peace be abundantly. Some version says, be on you in increasing measure.
Yes, Lord, come on.
So why does it say in increasing measure? Because the level of your understanding unlocks levels of the measure and the increase of what you begin to walk in. What you begin to receive.
Yes.
You see, God gives his spirit liberally. He pours out his grace liberally. The only filter is knowledge.
Wow.
What is the only filter? How well do you understand what he told you? Because it is to the extent of how you understand what he told you that you are able to walk on what he said to you. Is that too much? Looking at me like it's too much. Stop now.
No, come on.
I'm happy to stop.
No. Amen.
Now, what is knowledge?
Yeah.
Knowledge is discernment. Knowledge is perceived understanding.
Yeah.
Knowledge is confirmation of what's been done. Knowledge is acknowledgement of his nature and who he is.
Yeah.
As we acknowledge the nature of who he is and what it is, there is another word for it. It's called testimony.
Yes, that's awesome.
Then grace and peace begin to increase abundantly according to your testimony. This is also something we are yet to understand.
Yes.
When you testify, you acknowledge him.
Amen.
And as you acknowledge him, he releases another portion of increment. As you acknowledge him, he releases another portion of what? Increment.
Yeah. Amen.
A lot of people have been blessed, have been healed. Things have happened because of what we've done in here and have never testified.
Wow. Wow.
What that does is, it blocks you from another miracle.
Come on, wow. Amen.
Did you understand?
Yes.
Why? Because you failed to acknowledge him so he can bring incremental portion on your life. See, the other thing you got to understand is that acknowledging him is part of your warfare. And this is why the Bible says they defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony.
Yes.
Understand carefully. Your battle is not complete.
Yes.
Your miracle is not complete until you've testified. What did I say? Your miracle is not complete until you have testified.
Come on. That's awesome.
A lot of people have come, we've given them a prophetic word, it goes, it happens, and they never come back to testify.
Amen.
Now, just in case you're wondering, should I come to testify to you or should I go to testify to another church? Did you get that miracle at that church? So why are you testifying at that church?
Wow.
Do you remember the case of Jesus healing the 10 lepers?
Yeah.
How many came back? And what happened to the one that came back?
It's made whole.
You see, the 10 were cleansed. And the one that came back, he says, because you've come back, your faith has made you whole.
Come on.
So the one that came back was made whole. The ones that didn't come back were cleansed. That's why I'm saying your miracle is not complete until you've come back and testified.
Woo.
Now, do you come to this church to testify to feed my ego?
No.
So why does God want you to come here and testify? Because there are two things you are acknowledging.
Yes.
Number one, the grace of God that healed you.
Yes.
Number two, the grace of God bestowed on me.
Yes.
That is the part about receiving a prophet, receiving the prophet's reward.
Yeah.
That's the part when you honor the grace of God on somebody, you become a co-share and partaker of that grace.
Yes. Come on.
Does that make sense to somebody?
Yes.
Here's another part that may not impress you but makes me feel good.
Come on.
They went preaching the word. Remember that scripture?
Yeah.
With God affirming their sermon with signs and wonders.
Yeah.
Why was God affirming their sermon? He was validating who they are as his servants.
Amen.
So in as much as you may not like me, God likes to validate the fact that he called me.
Yes. Come on.
Do you understand that?
Yes.
Eh?
Yes.
That's why you say, I used my son, Victor, to touch you. You go back to him. Why? He's confirming and validating his
yes.
calling on my life.
Come on. That's good. Yes.
That's why he confirmed their message with signs and wonders. Why? So everybody that hate them would know without a doubt that these blocks Jesus sent them and is backing them up.
Come on.
Does that put that confusion to rest? So your miracle is not complete until what?
Testify. Come on.
Now, here is a transaction you may not understand. If you've never testified, as far as God is concerned, you owe him and he's not obligated to release anything new to you.
Wow.
What do you do?
Owe him.
You owe. So, when it's in a prayer line, God will say, this person didn't testify.
Come on.
It's up to you. And I would say, okay, we won't do it. And God will say, great.
Come on.
Just like we're talking with the chief there. Whatever he said about those people that have been making grief on him would have been done.
Come on.
If he said, let's punish them, their houses to catch fire, I guarantee you, their houses will be catching fire. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, how does that work? God is a loving, kind God. I know, that's why we are catching fire to their houses. It could have been them, but because we are nice and kind, we'll do it later. Oh. Okay, so do you understand that part?
Yes.
So, grace? You don't understand? You can do that if you like. Yeah? You can do that if you like. Sorry? No, I'm not cursing, I'm pronouncing judgment. Come on Friday. Come on Friday. When we come to the back room.
Teaching. Teaching on Friday.
This is why I said that before. Okay? You gotta understand what I say straight line. Pray for those who persecute you. Does anybody remember when I was talking about that? Or was it in a private, in the back room when I was talking about the grief of a prophet?
Yeah, no.
Was it in the back room?
No.
Talk to me.
I thought it was pretty loud.
Wait, do my prophet no harm and all that? Probably it was in the back room somewhere. Okay, so the thing is, when we are grieved, our grief, intentionally or unintentionally, does release something. And to counteract that, that's why Jesus said, pray for your enemies. But I got a lot to get through in here, so keep that one for the back room. Make sure you're at the back room. Making sense to anybody? Yeah. So I like turning the other cheek, which is awesome. When you smack me, I'll turn the other cheek. You hit me, I'll turn the other cheek. You hit Gabby, I'll destroy you. Am I making maybe abundant sense there? So I turn the cheek. You touch other people around me. So like those ones, I was looking, oh, what little cute kids. You can turn the cheek, Dad, if you like, but for the sake of the kids, should we touch their house? Okay. Just gather a little bit here so we don't lose the focus on what we're saying, because grace is in increasing measure. Yeah. Abundant grace comes increasingly. What is the determination of the increase? Our understanding.
Yes. Come on.
Our knowledge. And this is why I'm investing a lot of time to bring understanding that with the increased understanding, you may have increased grace, increased peace.
Come on.
Does that make sense, sir?
Yes.
So, he says, his people suffer because of what?
Lack of knowledge.
It is because we don't know. That's why we suffer. It is because we don't have understanding. Last year, I was teaching to you, the scripture says, in all thy getting, get what?
Understanding.
Because we've not spent time to acquire understanding. This is why we lag behind and struggle in certain things we struggle with. You see, you and I fight spiritual warfare every day. Hey, Jenny. Elijah didn't fight spiritual warfare every day. Why? He killed his enemies. That's just a side joke for the back room. Does Elijah make sense to you? Nobody bothered him. Elisha did not have kids taunt him ever in his life. Why? He fed them all to the bear. Okay. Now, verse 3. His divine power. Okay, this is a part. His divine power, his what?
Divine power.
What is divine? What does the word divine mean? Huh? Teach me some English. What does divine mean? Huh?
From God.
He's supernatural. It's divine, it's divinity, that's where you get divinity from. It's godlike. Okay, it's not from God, it is God. Are you understanding?
Yes.
It is not from God, it is
God.
Okay, so his godlike power. Of course, I'll let you do Greek there. The word power there is what? Dunamis, which means what? Explosive. Bam! Okay? So, his God nature, his God-like dunamis, has been given us. Okay, you don't look like people that just understood what I read.
Yes.
You do not look like people who just understood that. His divine power has given us everything we need.
Yeah.
Okay, what has given you? His power, his divine power, his God nature. His God nature, his God-like nature has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him. Is anybody counting that word knowledge?
Yes, yes.
What that means is how much is given to you is not questionable. Yes. How much you know and understand what is given you is what is in question.
Yes. Amen. That's good.
Are you understanding?
Yes.
His power in you is unquestionable.
Yeah.
His grace, his anointing, his favor is beyond limit. It is divine. It is God.
Yes.
What What's the difference is your knowledge.
Amen. Amen. Come on.
Are you understanding where the issues are in your Christianity?
Yes.
It's got nothing to do with what God did or God didn't do.
Come on.
The problem has got everything to do with how well do you understand?
Yeah.
How well do you know?
Come on.
How intimately acquainted are you with what he did?
Huh.
How intimately acquainted are you with what he said? How intimately acquainted are you with what he promised?
Yes. Come on.
Are you understanding?
Yes.
What he did is, what he said is, well, it is knowable. It is up to you to pursue the understanding.
Come on.
It is the glory of a king to do what? Conceal a matter. And the glory of men to kings to seek it out. So there is the infinite greatness and grandeur of what is done for you. But it is up to you to pursue the understanding. To familiarize yourself with what is done.
Amen.
To familiarize yourself with what is said.
Yep.
To familiarize yourself with what is given you.
Come on. Come on.
Many of you, like my mother here, she's got iPhone 6S. Yeah, that's what it is. It's an incredible machine.
Yeah.
That the computing, calculating power, which is on that little thing on a lap, is far greater than the computer that sent Neil Armstrong to the moon.
Wow.
On that.
Come on.
But the best she does with it is text. And take notes and make a phone call. In other words, she's using only 2% of the capacity of that gadget.
Yeah.
And that's what the rest of us are when we receive the power and the grace of God in our lives.
Come on, come on, come on. Come on.
What God has given you, what God has released on you, He's so awesome that if you understand three things of it, you will change your neighborhood.
Yes, yes.
Now, according to His divine power, He's given us everything that we need. Number one, for what? Life. Eh? What do you need for your life?
Yeah.
Yell it to me. What do you need at your house?
Food.
Okay, sensible people. Food. Okay, you need food? He's already given that to you according to His divine nature. Money, He's already given that to you according to His divine nature. A car, He's already given that to you according to His divine nature. A house, He's already given that to you according to His divine nature. Shoes, He's already given that to you according to His divine nature.
Come on, come on.
What do you people need?
Knowledge.
He's already given that. Come now, on. He's saying the reason why we don't have that, we like the understanding how to transact from one realm to the other.
Yes. Come on.
Some of you, when you go to heaven, you're going to get the heart attack in heaven. When you see the house you should have been living in on earth.
Well, well.
Ha! You mean that was my house and seven of them?
Come on.
Yeah. And I lived in that? Yeah. Why? How well did you understand?
Come on.
What it meant when I said on the cross, it is finished. When he said on the cross, it is finished.
Come on.
What did you think I meant? I meant your disease is finished.
Yeah.
I meant your pain is finished.
Yeah.
I meant your sorrow is finished. I meant your need is finished. I meant your want is finished. I meant your death is finished. I meant your corruption is finished. I meant your struggle is finished.
Come on. Yes.
Woo. Should we read a little bit more?
Amen.
And now here's the other thing. Okay? Because we move so quickly to spiritualize this.
Yeah.
There's no need to. Because he's already done that. Both what you need for life. I don't need the supernatural for life. I just need dinner. Mm. Now that he's given that, he also supplies the rest. And for godliness.
Yes.
What you need to live a spirit-filled life. What you need to live
yes.
a resurrected life. What you need to live the Christ-given, centered life.
Come on.
He's already done that. And no longer should we need to be struggling.
Come on.
What are you doing? I'm trying to hit God.
Come on.
If you're in the back room on Friday, you know how simple it is to hear God. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to give you a little bit more. Number four. If you've been struggling with everything I've been saying so far, I pray God helps you on verse four. Through these. Let me just take you to the top because I'm feeling very generous in explaining. Okay, so at number one there, we said the same kind of grace Peter received is the same grace they have.
Yeah.
So meaning they are just like as good as Peter because what he got they also have. Okay?
Amen.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
The grace that I have, you got. What I can do, you can do. Only better. Is anybody struggling with that little notion? Okay? So being like Peter is doable, all right? Being like me is doable. All right? I am baseline. Okay? Now that we all understand that, okay, don't make me lose my confidence that you got what I said, Cheryl. Okay?
Come on.
I'm not at verse 4 or 5. That's why I went back to verse 1. So we can understand verse 4 or 5. Okay? Are we good with verse 1?
Yes.
Are we good with verse 2?
Yes. Yes.
Are we good with verse 3?
Yes.
Let me make it easier for you because I decided I'm not going to have time. From verse 1 to verse 9, he uses the word knowledge 5 times.
Come on.
Wow. Really emphasizing what is lacking in the church.
Yes.
What is lacking?
Knowledge.
What is not lacking? Divine power. Divine power is not lacking. What is lacking? Knowledge. So he says the word knowledge 5 times. And we're just in the second knowledge here. Okay, verse 4. Okay? Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promise, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature.
Come on. Come on. Amen. Yes.
I'll explain this to Vili. He seems like he's understanding me.
Come on.
Okay. Through this,
come on.
He's given us his great and precious promises, so that we may be partakers of his divine nature.
Come on.
So I just got promoted from partaking in the grace of Peter to partaking in the nature of God himself.
Yes. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Did you get that?
Yes.
Okay, so now in verse 4, not only do I have the same grace as Peter, not only do I have the same measure of faith as Peter, not only can I do what Peter can do, I have the divine nature of God himself. I can do what God can do.
Come on. Come on. Yes.
See, the word being a partaker,
come on,
it means you are a sharer in the equal equity of the same estate.
Yes. Come on.
Come on, you Christians.
Come on.
I am a partaker.
Yes.
I am a participant.
Woo.
I have been invited to the koinonia of the divine nature.
Amen. Come on.
Because I'm a partaker, an equal participant with him in his nature, I become one with him.
Yes.
And I begin to do like him.
Yes.
Huh. I become a co-creator because I'm a co-participant. Yes.
God, that's awesome.
I just explained to you why I do what I do.
Amen. Yes, bring it on.
I'm feeling like Moses, not enough words to explain things.
Come on.
So we're just going to resort to boom.
Yes. Come on.
The divine nature, that's God himself. For starters, he released it to men. And and were invited to become sharer of the grace and the faith is given to man. And now as we begin to understand, to have knowledge and walk in that, we realize that the divine, the grace and the faith we received, it's not that of Peter, but it is the nature of God.
Amen. Amen.
And as we begin to walk in that, we understand that we become like he is because he is, so we are.
Amen. Amen. Come on.
Do we understand that? So when you begin to understand that, you begin to appreciate that my hand is God's hand.
Yes.
So the issue is, I know that. But most of the time I put my hand on you, you don't know that.
Come on.
That's why nothing happens for you. For those that know that when Victor puts his hand on me, then God has put his hands on me, are the ones that get healed, delivered, and set free.
Come on.
Are you understanding that?
Yes. Come on.
Now, if you appreciate that my hand is his hand, now, there's only one little thing about my hand. Hey? For example, help me. Come on, Lou. Stand over there. Okay? So, my hand, I want to touch her. My hand doesn't reach there because there is a limitation here. So if you appreciate that my hand becomes a tool in his hand that he can use to touch, but I can't reach out there. Isaiah said the hand of the Lord is not too short that it cannot reach. Yeah. So if my hand is his hand, then his hand is my hand.
Come on.
And that's why I could say, why? I'm here. His hand is there.
Yes.
Does that now make sense?
Yes. Come on. Amen.
So when I do that, what I'm asserting is, okay, God, give me your hand.
Yeah.
My hand can go that far, but your hand is going to go all the way. So just like he's laughing good.
Amen.
We're just going to touch him on the belly.
Amen.
That's the thing. He's hiding from my hand, but God's hand goes through.
Amen. Come on.
On the belly.
Come on.
Now ask him what he's feeling on the belly. Talk. I'm preaching.
It's tight. It's contracting. And it's a little bit. I don't know. It's, it feels
what are
a little
you feeling
bit
there?
Like a baby thing.
What are you feeling there?
Power.
So. Demonstration rested. Do you understand?
Amen. Come on. Yes, Lord.
You'll be feeling that for a while.
Amen.
You too. Why would they be feeling that for a while? Because, well, I let go, he's still touching.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Lord.
Does it make sense, Mother? How is it possible? Because if you believe that your hand is a tool in his hand, then the opposite has to be true. His hand has to be a tool in your hand.
Amen.
So the moment you begin to understand that, distance stops being a barrier.
Yes. Yes.
Does that make sense?
Amen.
Did I demonstrate good?
Yes.
Come Give on. Jesus a hooray if you got it. Now, what understanding are you taking home with you? Oh, you are tempting me.
Come on.
Your name. What are you tempting me, Ronald?
Come on.
So, having said what I said and understanding what I said, what does that mean? His divine nature is in you. By extension, you are his divine nature.
Yes.
And this is why the Bible says you are spirit. And that's why you are expected to worship him what? In spirit.
Yes.
Does that make sense to anybody?
Yes.
So while we have the knowledge of walking in the natural, we need to develop the knowledge of walking in the spirit.
Come on.
Okay. Now this is where life becomes exciting.
Yes.
As I submit to his divine nature, I petition him to make something happen. As I walk in his divine nature, which I'm a co-participant and sharer, I begin to make it happen.
Yes.
I don't know. Did anybody just understand that?
Yes. Yes.
Or is that for grown-ups?
It's awesome. Come on.
This is why, to that example of the back room, when we said, what do you want us to do? It was standing in the divine nature that would make it happen, whether God was doing it or not. Why? Because we stick to the nature of who we are in him.
Amen. Amen.
Did anybody understand?
Yes.
Oh, I lost you a few chapters, verses ago.
Amen.
I did say, I don't know when. The problem is we pray too much and command too little. That's why we see no result. Eh?
Yes.
Maybe I should just stop here.
Come on. Come on.
Are you understanding?
Yes.
So what do I want you to do, Paul, when you leave here? I want you to stand in front of your cat. Practice.
Come on.
Good. Wife, stand there. What do you feel? Practice.
Come on.
Begin to practice.
Yes, Lord.
And the more you practice anything, the better you become. Eh?
Amen.
If you practice cricket every day, you're going to get better at cricket.
Amen.
If you practice walking in your divine nature, you're going to get better at it.
Amen. Amen.
Practice, practice, practice.
Amen.
Yeah?
Yes.
You hear that? It says we're practicing what? Well, I mean, if the Bible says it, go practice it.
Yes.
Remember, that is what the double is.
Yes.
Those were that. You see, you yes. go do a practice it. Be its embodiment. Am I making sense to you?
Amen.
Yeah?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I think I'll leave it here. There's still more, but
Amen.
I don't want your brain to be overloaded.
Amen.
Let's stand for a bit. Who lent anything today?
Yes.
Okay, the thing is not me teaching you. I deliberately do things spiritually and then explain to you how. Did we do a good job today?
Yes.
Nearly, almost. Thank you, Nicola, for giving me a clap. I feel encouraged. Woo! Okay.